The healthcare detective, Frank Lally, has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally's also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. Plus, he has lived long enough to know what he's talking about, and his brain cells still march together, which is always a good thing. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Gee, that's high praise.
From me, you know it is.
I'm an old guy with an old brain, but it still works. I used a little of my brain power this week to take a closer look at our profit-driven healthcare system. That's what we're going to talk about today. And I got to tell you, it's a broken system right now. It's created all kinds of vast problems and inequities in our society. So, look, Americans pay twice as much as other industrialized nations for their healthcare. Twice as much. $11,000 per person per year. That's nearly $1,000 a month for each of us. Twice as much as the rest of the world. Yet, with all that money sloshing around, 10% of us have no health insurance. None, zip, 10%. And another 40 million have inadequate coverage. I've got insurance, but it doesn't really help me. Okay, so it's no big surprise that one person in four of us don't see a doctor when we think we need to see a doctor during the year because we're afraid of what the cost might be. One person out of four doing that kind of rationing of healthcare. So guess what that leads to? This is worst of all as a result of these inequities and this reluctance to get treatment because you can't afford it. We're dying younger. We pay twice as much, and we die younger than people all over the world. Our life expectancy is 78 years, okay? 76 for men, 81 for women. Richest country in the world, we now rank 26, a shameful 26 in the world. We're behind anywhere you'd look, Canada, UK, France, Germany, you name the country. People in those other countries live to be 82. We're dying at 78. That's four more years on average. By the way, the Japanese, I don't know what the secret is, but they're living on average to 84. So you know what? Pass the sushi. But that has something to do with who knows?
The diet unquestionably, and don't forget, there is a different form of medicine. And if you use it in conjunction with, it is, I mean, I would love to see that broken down. I really would.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. But something's going on over there that is allowing those people to live. They smoke like crazy.
Yeah, I know, but it's absolutely.
That's not good.
No, I know, but
they live a lot longer.
It is definitely a diet and a drug thing.
Yeah.
As in a different approach to, I mean, you and I are on different sides of the spectrum in terms of.
I'd rather look at genes than herbal teas. But
I understand.
Anyway, yeah.
Never mind.
Moving on. So here's the question for today. Okay, how should we fix this system? Right, it's broken. Let's fix it. And that's a very important healthcare is the number one issue in this country among voters. I think that question, how do we fix this thing, is going to probably determine who becomes the Democratic nominee, almost for sure. And then probably who becomes president of the United States, because you'll have a Democrat, I think, with a plan that a lot of people think is credible. And you'll have President Trump, who's made all kinds of promises about fixing our healthcare system, but really has not delivered. So I think that's going to be the big debate. And the debate right now really boils down to two options, two ways to go. We can allow people to choose to sign up for Medicare coverage right now. That's called the public option, right? You can sign up. You don't have to be 65. You just sign right up for it, and you're in. That includes the 150 million of us who get their health insurance at work. All right. Or do we scrap our profit-driven system, right? It's not the insurance companies are sucking billions of dollars out of it that could go to healthcare. It's going to their profits and their bonuses. Let's get rid of this whole profit-driven system, including private insurance at work, right? And let's replace the whole thing with universal healthcare. Everybody in the country gets a government-paid plan, and it covers everyone, baby, man, woman, child, everybody. No premiums, no copays, no deductibles, no such thing. We've discussed it in the past. No such thing as medical debt. Medical debt would be gone because you'd get free health care. But Medicare for All comes with much higher taxes, okay? Because at the end of the day, somebody's got to pay these doctor bills. Now, good old Bernie Sanders, who, you know, as he says, he wrote the damn Medicare for All bill, he admits, look, his approach will raise taxes on the middle class. It's at the margins. It's not everyone by a long shot, but it will raise some middle class taxes. He admits that. But he also argues, look, after you pay those little higher taxes, the average family is going to save about $5,000 a year on their medical bills. And that's a pretty good piece of change. The boss does even better. The boss saves something like $9,000 for every worker's family. And that's a bit of a windfall. Now, along comes Elizabeth Warren, and she says, yeah, Medicare for All, good idea, but I've got a better way to do it that will not hurt the middle class, will not increase their taxes at all, not one penny. I got a better way. And then people said, you know what, Elizabeth, what's exactly in that little black box you keep carrying around with you? What are the details inside? She doesn't want to talk about that for weeks. But under a lot of pressure, she just released her details. I got to tell you, Jill, critics on the right, critics on the left, progressives, say her numbers just don't make a lot of sense. They call her plan unrealistic. They call it mathematical gymnastics. And I got to tell you, I looked at it very carefully this past week, and I got to say, I agree with the critics. A lot of what Warren is proposing, I think, is going to, at the end of the day, backfire on the middle class. It's going to drive up taxes in ways she hasn't really wrapped her mind around. And there'll be other costs and other complications. So I'm afraid that's my bottom line, and I can take you through the details. Should I proceed with those details?
Yes, please.
Okay.
No, it's necessary. I don't know, and this is a frustration. There is an assumption that people don't pay attention to the details, and unfortunately, when you are trying to implement something, it's fine when you're talking for a news story or trying to gin up some excitement, or from marketing, you do, yes, broad strokes, that's fine. It's all free.
Right.
Where the trouble frequently begins when you actually try to implement or execute, just regularly when you wander off, for example, to the emergency room because your mouth is exploding, and they say, well, sorry, that'll be $2,000 and go away.
Right. So, I think we got to get deeper than the headlines and the promises that you might see on TV. What are the details? So let's start with the employers. That's a real key here. So under Bernie's plan, I just mentioned, yeah, right, the boss saves $9,000 for family. Think about that. That's a windfall. If his plan ever became law, that's a windfall for them. And you can imagine, not all that money, but some of that money would trickle down to the workers, right? You'd have more money to invest in your business. You might hire some people. You might give some people some raises. You get, a turkey, a really big turkey at Thanksgiving, maybe another one at Christmas. Under Warren's plan, the boss has to pay 98% of whatever they're paying now for workers' health care. They got to kick that into the government to pay for health care. So they're not saving, they're saving pennies, okay? Plus, she'd raise corporate taxes by $300 billion a year in addition. So who doesn't believe that a boss who takes a hit like that isn't going to pass on some of the pain to his own workers, right? I mean, he's not going to expand the business. Instead of hiring people, he's going to be laying off people. You're not going to get a raise. Hey, the turkey at Thanksgiving, this year it's a chicken. he's going to tighten his belt. And how about this idea? So Warren says, okay, I hear you. I've got to do something for the workers. All right, so let's allow employers to pay less to the government, kick in less, if they give their workers raises. Okay, that's sounds like a reasonable, good trade-off. However, she says, but that's only for union workers. So there's the benefit. The benefit goes to union shops, not to non-union workers. And how do you think non-union workers, when they realize that they're not getting this benefit, how do you think they're going to react? 90% of our workforce is non-union. How are they going to react when they hear that a union shop gets this benefit and they don't?
But wait for one second, because this is just we've got 4 minutes left, and I'm going to not okay. make this short. But
okay, sure.
No, it's just how can you not? How can you ignore that?
I don't know.
How can you stand there with in full voice and just say, yeah, well, it's going to be fine? How can you not?
Look, Jill, it's even worse because small businesses that don't provide health care now, right? So they don't pay the 98%. And is that fair? So smaller companies that are stiffing their workers, no health care, actually don't have to pay, kick in the 98%. And I think here's the perverse part of that. I think that's an invitation for small companies all over the country to drop their coverage for their, if they're actually giving coverage to their workers today, drop it because you're going to have to kick in that 98% if Medicare for All comes in. But if you don't have health care now, you're not going to get penalized like that. So I think it's an open invitation for workers to get less health insurance. And there's more. Workers themselves today, they can write off their premiums, right? And against their income. It's no small matter. Workers, taxpayers, are saving something like $140 billion a year by writing off their premiums. Well, if there are no premiums, if you count on that little write-off each year as a kind of little bonus, that's gone. And here's the kicker. She'd ramp up tax enforcement to collect an extra $200 billion. So that's great news for all of us who look forward to being audited by the government. More right, I can't wait to get audited by the government. Well, Warren says, we'll audit you some more. Not to mention the howls, and we've heard some of this, but not to mention the howls you're going to hear from hospitals, doctors, specialists, who under her plan would only get a little bit more than Medicare payments now, not the much higher amount of money they're getting from private insurance. So that's going to hurt the income. So and the bottom lines of hospitals, doctors, and specialists, and they are going to scream. And so at the end of the day, I think this really hurts her campaign. I think it hurts the idea of Medicare for All. In Iowa, that's the first state that's going to pick a Democratic nominee, right? So voters there favor buying into Medicare, right, the public option. They favor it over Medicare for All by 14 percentage points. That's a lot. So the question really comes down to whether Warren can pivot away from Medicare for All the way she's presenting it to some version of public option or some better idea of how she's going to take care of Medicare for All. And I think that just got a lot harder, Jill, because she's kind of dug in now with these details, and the details really don't make a lot of sense. They're going to backfire. And it's also a reflection of her personality. She's got a better idea. You know, she's got a plan. That's fine. But she's got her plan is better than your plan. And if you don't agree with me, I'm just going to fight for my plan. That kind of rigidness, I think, really hurts her campaign. Certainly hurts the idea of Medicare for All in this country.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online in store.